Bonjour messieurs, bonjour mesdames, bonjour à tous.
Good morning ladies and gentlemen.
Donc je me présente, Claire Gibault.
I'm Claire Gibault,
députée européenne.
MEP
de la culture, commission du
in the Culture Committee and the Women's Rights Committee.
J'ai le grand honneur d'être avec à mes côtés,
and
Madame
it's my honour to
Maud
have with me Ms. Maud
de
Bourg,
who
is the Secretary General of the Council of Europe, and Mr. François de Combray,
qui représente l'association CARE internationale, et tous les deux
CARE International Organization,
avec moi-même sur la protection.
And we will be talking
Europe,
to you about child protection in Europe, in particular
abandoned.
Regarding orphan and abandoned children.
Excusez-moi, madame. Je voulais vous prier d'excuser Monsieur Cavada.
Now, apologies from Mr. Cavada. He had a boarding pass for Strasbourg in his hand, but because of the French political situation, he has had a very busy, difficult agenda today, and he's extremely sorry not to be able to be with us this afternoon, so he presents his apologies, and I hope you will excuse his absence.
Thank you very much, Claire, for this brief introduction. I also sincerely regret the absence of Jean-Marie Cavada, because we had an extensive discussion on the topic which will be debated today. But I'm very happy to see here at the table Monsieur de Combray, and I hope that together we will provide you with information you are looking for. Now, what I would like to say today is really related to the issue of adoption. Of course, children, the situation of children and abandoned children in particular raise a whole series of issues in relation to institutionalized care, what to do with abandoned children, street children, but I don't think that it is appropriate to, today to concentrate on that. So, because that would take us much longer. I would like to concentrate on adoption, and I would like to say in that respect that children have, of course, the right to be brought up by their parents. That's the starting point, but sometimes that is simply not possible. And when that is not possible, then adoption, whether national or international, is and must remain a valid option. Whether or not to adopt is a very personal decision, and it can be made for many, many different reasons. But what should always prevail is the best interest of the child. Now, on the European continent, I would like to say that there are two relevant international legal texts which govern this issue. Of course, for interstate adoption, we have the 1993 Hague Convention, which deals with inter-country adoption. And then we have the Council of Europe Convention on adoption, which deals primarily with national adoption. Now, this convention, which is, as I said, dates back to 1967, needed obviously an update because society has evolved, and there was a need to take into account these developments over the last 40 years, and that is what the Council of Europe has been doing. We have been updating this convention. The text is not finalized yet. It will have to be reviewed in a final reading next week by the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe. But I can already at this point reveal what are the novelties in this new Council of Europe Convention on Adoption. I would like to mention a few. First of all, the obligation to seek the consent of the child when it comes to adoption, if the child is of sufficient understanding, and that is as a rule based in the case when the child is 14 years old. There is an additional requirement that when consent is not necessary, and children are in any event consulted as to their wishes and that their views should be taken into account. There is a provision which prohibits improper gain as a result of adoption, and that is of course a very important provision when we're thinking about the possible trafficking in children. The need to seek and obtain the consent of the father in all cases. It's also a new element in this convention. And then finally, an extension of the right to adopt to heterosexual unmarried couples who have entered into a registered partnership, and also the right to adopt for single parents. These are, in short, the novelties. I will be able to reply to additional questions if they arise. Let me just conclude by a few remarks. Our paramount objective is to protect the best interest of the child. The second point I want to recall is that there is no right to adopt a child. The third point I want to make is that we must step up all our efforts to avoid attempts which are designed to facilitate adoption, whether national or international, by violating the law. And this, again, sets us very much back in the scene of trafficking of children, and therefore I would also like to mention briefly another Council of Europe legal instrument which is very relevant in this respect, and that's the Council of Europe Convention Against Trafficking, in which a lot of attention has been paid to the situation of children. Let me finally recall that national adoption must be sought first. If this is not possible, international adoption must remain a valid option. If there are problems and abuses, we must tackle the problems at the root, and our response should be directed to resolve these problems and not let children pay the price for mistakes or deliberate attempts to violate the law by adults. The protection of children's rights in general has been is one of the priority areas of my work as Deputy Secretary General of the Council of Europe. And I've always been guided by the principle of the best interest of the child. And that is why I have lent my strong personal support to the declaration which we are presenting here today.
Merci. Merci beaucoup. Je pense Thank que you. Vous en souvenez, ça fait plus de deux ans que Jean-Marie Cavada et
Now you recall that it's 2 years now since Jean-Marie Cavada and myself have been fighting for the cause of international adoption. It's something that we care very much about. He was an orphan and he was displaced between various different host families and had to live through all that precarity. And I have adopted two African children. They're 19 and 22 years old now. They've made me very happy. And we have produced a written declaration which was signed by 408 MEPs. In November, November 2006, we held an international colloquium on this issue because we wanted to, we realized that there was a movement in the Parliament against international adoption, which was very active and which was having a very deleterious effect on children, particularly on Romanian children who had been abandoned or who were orphans because of a law which was banning international adoption of Romanian children. I'm going to hand over to Mr. De Compré in a moment's time. He's come from Romania and he has had 18 years of experience of the situation in Romania and can update you about the situation there. As the European Union is turning itself into an area of judicial cooperation,
il y a certainement la possibilité d'œuvrer en faveur de la création d'un système
the possibility to work for the establishment of a European community adoption system. Yesterday, we received a letter from the Hague Conference which is supporting our approach. That's very significant. A study on international adoption is to be launched in the European Commission by Commissioner Frattini, and I'm very looking forward to seeing what the results will be. This idea of European legislation in the area must be pushed forward. I realize it's going to take some time, but there is one thing that we don't want to wait for. And something that I wanted to be clear to the press, and that's the fact that Romanian children are suffering because of this ban on adoption. I have roughly 50 pages of articles from Romanian newspapers on the violation of children's rights, and I hope you might be able to read some of them. I managed to get those articles together in just a few days. I realise that international adoption won't resolve all of the problems, but this international ban is destroying a lot of people's lives, and it's fair enough to seek assistance on this issue. A generation of children has been sacrificed because of people's national pride or because of something which almost amounts to xenophobia. Time will not resolve everything. Because in fact, things have been getting worse. And I imagine these children will in time have questions to ask of their former leaders. The Hague Conference should help us to come up with a strict legal framework for Romanian authorities, but this hasn't been followed up by the authorities to date. For a year, Mr. Cavada and myself have been quiet about this issue. We have been waiting to see if Romania, well, what would happen when Romania joined the European Union, whether they would meet their commitments. They haven't kept their promises, and this is also why we have taken this action this afternoon. We've also read a lot about the issue of illegal adoption. Mr. Burr mentioned this. There was a lot of media attention about the Arche de Zoé affair and so on. But I also think that it's absurd to confuse the child's rights and the right to children and suggest that they oppose each other. Of course, there is no right to a child, but many children have been abandoned in hospitals, they have been neglected, they're often living in unhygienic circumstances and inhuman accommodation. I've visited some of these orphanages, and there are teenagers there too. At 18, these children are ejected onto the streets and they face very difficult situations, these young adults. They are delivered into poverty and there's no host family who can look after their needs. It's a very serious situation. I've tried to help various teenagers, but no home will take them. It really undermines your confidence in the adults involved. It's extremely difficult to make progress. When I say it's less traumatizing for a child to remain in an orphanage until the age of 18 rather than to be sent abroad, it's suggested that this uprooting would be very difficult. There are psychological and financial issues which are very important. There are very many teenagers who don't have any support throughout their life. So I don't object to host families. There are some very good host families. There are host families who only offer to host children because they want the money, but some people also do this for humanitarian reasons. But the problem is that at 18 years old, children who haven't been adopted are pretty much lost. As soon as they reach the age of 18, that's it. A psychiatrist said that a child in an orphanage loses 1 in 3 months of cognitive and affective development. So I don't think it's the best solution to shut children away in orphanages, even if we can work to try to improve conditions in orphanages, because there are some children for whom it's difficult to find adoptive parents, but orphan and abandoned children are facing very difficult circumstances, and that's what we want to work on. Ms. De Boer talked about some of the bad arguments which have been used against international adoption, i.e. the issue of child trafficking, uprooting children, the risks that it will be difficult to integrate these children. Many studies have shown that adoption in itself does not prevent all of those ills. I'm going to give the floor to François de Combray, and thank you very much.
Je voudrais remercier
Thank you. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Mrs. De Beer-Bokikyo as well as Mrs. Gibault for what they've just said. And I wanted to take this opportunity also to tell you that I really support this initiative, basically the establishment of a European agency for international adoptions. Now, with regard to my remit here, what is my remit? I think really what I know about is the situation on the ground, because I'm a magistrate, a judge in France, I work in Paris, I've worked at the Court of Auditors there as well. And then back in 1990, I was curious to find out about what was happening in Romania. You remember that that was at the time after the execution of Ceausescu. And so I went there and I discovered how children were living in that country. That was 18 years ago already. And that's basically my background, if you like. That's why I'm speaking today, because I have altogether 18 years of experience in the field. There is a UN convention, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and there is a preamble to that convention. And there's a clause which speaks about the fact that every child is entitled to a family. It's a fundamental right for each and every child. There's another text which I would like to refer you to, because I think it's very important, and that's the International Hague Convention. I refer you to that as well. According to the Hague Convention, if there's no other solution for a child, again, bearing in mind this entitlement to a family right, then international or national adoption would be the legal solution, the lawful solution to remedy the situation. And from that point of view, I find it really quite shocking to note that countries that have actually ratified the Hague Convention, such as Romania, for instance, but these countries have ratified and yet enact laws that actually prevent international adoptions, that ban international adoptions. They are therefore depriving these children of their entitlement to a family. You may know that the Hague Convention has two categories of countries, the so-called countries of origin, that's one category, and then the countries of reception or hosting countries, if you prefer, that's the second category.
The
new countries, that have joined the European Union, joining this big European family, if you like, we have in this category of countries both countries of origin and hosting countries. The countries of origin were unfortunately on the wrong side of the wall at the time. The host countries were those who back in 1945 were fortunate enough to find themselves on the right side of the fence. Now, it seems to me basic, it seems to me elementary to really state that all these countries, whether the countries of origin or hosting countries, that these are all countries that are member states of the European Union, and they should show solidarity when it comes to protecting the rights of the child. I mean, the European Union is an ideal of liberty, of freedom. It is an ideal that is translated into practice for people who can move freely throughout Europe. It's also a liberty that is provided for goods, for products. What we're referring to there is the dismantlement of borders. It also applies to capital. So persons, goods, capital, they all move freely. Those who do not move freely are children. Why is that? It is because some countries have built yet another wall, and I think another iron curtain, if you like, and I think that's really deplorable. I say this because, as Mrs. Gibault said earlier, you know, I too have witnessed what this means in terms of the child, of how that child is abandoned and what it goes through. Now, I've mentioned the example of Romania because I think it's, the association we referred to a moment ago, it is, I think, the most important case. Look at what happened in the interim period since the death of Ceausescu. 18 years have gone by, and I think still the situation is deplorable. 10,000 children are abandoned every year, I believe. There are so many children being abandoned, being left in this country, and that particular country is the one that then also bans international adoptions. Now that, to me, is count hypocrisy. Therefore, I would like to conclude simply by saying that my own personal experience in this area here again. I've worked for 18 years with children who have been abandoned in Romania. In the light of that experience, I really feel moved to organize something on a European scale, an adoption system that is honest, that is efficient, and that will allow each and every one of these children to really find happiness and to find a family, to live with a family. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know whether you have any questions. We have very little time left at our disposal. A question?
Vous nous avez dit tout à l'heure.
Thank you.
Earlier
on, you stated that you were particularly concerned about the interests of the child, that that is what guided you. And your colleague on your right-hand side, I think, made a further comment referring to the Hague Convention, saying that according to the Hague Convention, every child is entitled to a family. What about a homosexual couple, a male homosexual couple? Would such a couple be in the interest of the child, and could such a couple constitute a family for that child?
Je voudrais répondre à cette question.
Allow me to respond to that question, if I may. I don't think we can answer that question with a sweeping statement, with a broad statement. We've talked about the interest of the child. The interest of the child is the most important thing. And that's why in each and every single case, you have to investigate the situation and see what is in the best interest of the child. Is adoption in the best interest or not? I referred to the convention earlier on, sir, and when referring to that, I spoke about the right for single parents to adopt, single person to adopt, rather, that is recognized in legal terms. And I also spoke about heterosexual couples, unmarried heterosexual couples who have actually signed up for a civil partnership, if you like, or a legal partnership. I refer to those two instances. Then, as for the remainder, well, the member states of the Council of Europe, if you like, have the option, if they so wish, to extend that right. So they can extend the right to cover also same-sex couples who might be married, same-sex couples who may have a civil partnership, or simply same-sex couples who live in a stable relationship. That is left open to them. What we noticed was that within the member states of the Council of Europe, there's too much divergence, if you like. We didn't want to impose this principle upon the member states. However, we wanted to leave the door ajar, leave the door open for member states to provide for that possibility if they so wish. I hope I've answered your question, sir.
Just a point of clarification. You mentioned that you might ask the consent of children. Did you say that it was for children that are over 14 years old? And why 14?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, it could have been 12, it could have been 15, but the choice was 14. I mean, this. It's just like, for instance, the collection of data concerning the ADN of parents of origin. We have fixed that the necessary time to keep the record of this information at 50 years. It's in a way arbitrary, but I think it's a reasonable choice.
So it's made on the basis of statistics?
Yes, yeah, that's right. It's a sort of average.
Thank you very much. Just a question about future timing. You say this is going through a final reading with the Committee of Ministers in a week or so's time. Then what's the rest of the procedure for this convention?
The final reading, as I said, will take place next week at the level of a subordinate level of the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe. But then there will be what is needed is a decision, a formal decision by the Committee of Ministers at the level of Ministers of Foreign Affairs to open it for signature. And if all goes well, I expect this to happen in May this year. And then, of course, the signature and ratification process takes place. Can I just mention one point, but I think because that's important. The fact that this takes a little bit of a time after experts have come to an agreement can be criticized, but at the same time, it's important to be aware of a recent judgment of the European Court of Human Rights in a case against France, where a single parent who wanted to adopt a woman who lived in a homosexual relation, same-sex relationship with another woman, was denied the right to adopt by the national authorities with a reference to this, to her homosexuality. And the European Court of Human Rights considered that once a law granted the right for a single parent to adopt, no discriminatory element could be brought into play referring to the fact that she lived in a homosexual relationship. And that is a very important judgment of the court. And all we need to do at this point is to check whether our convention really is sufficiently in line with this recent development.
Bien. Nous vous remercions.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope that you will pass the message on. It's an important message. I'd like to thank Ms. Maud de Beauvicchio and François de Combray. Thank you very much.